All right, so we are on Instagram Live, we're on Facebook Live, and trying to bring some value this morning. And it's actually 12:35 p.m. here on the East Coast, trying to bring some value. One of the group members posted a question in the queue that I happen to approve, but I want to turn off the commenting because I was going to answer it, but I told myself, you know what, this is probably one of those questions that deserves a video because I saw a lot of misconceptions in how the language is written, and I want to be I want to clarify. I'm not trying to sit here on my high horse saying, you should know. I know better, right? I recognize that everybody is in this group and in this group on Instagram and follows us on our law enforcement page to find answers. So no question is ever too stupid. So I want to keep that in mind. Like, we've had people who have misbehaved. We've had people who were seasoned veteran police officers, talented ones, that misbehaved towards younger, newer police officers, whatever it may be. And we don't tolerate that, right? Because everybody comes here because they're looking for a place where they can open up, ask some questions, no matter how silly it may sound or appear to some folks. No question is too silly or too stupid. So let's go into this one. I'm not taking the opportunity here to criticize this gentleman. I'm not trying to impress you with my skills. I'm just trying to impress upon you the importance of knowing some of the language you're using when you're writing things. And we're going to be speaking specifically about New Jersey case law. However, you may find some value in some of the things that I say regarding this question I was posed. So I'm going to go back over to the question. This is what it said. I'm going to go through it little by little. It said, sorry, guys, this one's a bit of a doozy. I'm just going to preface this and say that, no, it's not a personal stop mine, but I'm genuinely curious about this after having been involved in it in a support capacity. To help paint the picture, this took place in the state of New Jersey. Ha, good news. I'm from here. I can help. Let's say we have a situation where an officer conducts an MV stop on a vehicle and the driver can't produce a driver's license. You don't have an MDT in the car and the lookups channel on your radio is down due to manpower shortage. I don't know what that means. Your lookups channel, so what, you don't have a dispatcher? Since you can't confirm the driver, so let's go back. Let's start right there for a second. When we say manpower shortage, like, what are we talking about? You can't call another PD or a county sheriff's office or a county police department and ask for help. So that's the first one. Like, when has it come to the point where we can't get help from an outside agency? How many times I've called outside agencies, even outside the state of New Jersey, and requested some help because I couldn't get their picture on NLETS or something like that? So that's the first one. There really shouldn't be coming a time that you are finding yourself with an inability to confirm somebody's identification. Sounds like you have enough time to make a car stop, right? So you can't, like, what are we talking about here? Like, is your software down? If it is, make a phone call. Two, this is starting to ring a bell of, like, how to know when somebody's lying about who they are. A portion of the case law class, I'm sorry, a portion of the course that I did, that I do as Proactive Patrol, Street Cops, the Street Smart Cop, my signature course that the foundation this company is built on. So are we just experiencing a delay in trying to get information, or are we using the tactics employed in the class to know, okay, this person is full of shit? You should know this at your career level, or if you don't know, you really should be taking advantage of the opportunities that we have to train with this kind of program to understand when somebody's lying about who they are. So that's the kind of next thing I'm going to. When you start getting better at understanding when somebody's lying about who they are or lying about their driver's license status, you should have some, through your training experience, reasonable suspicion to believe the person is hindering the truth. Let's go back to this. Since you can't confirm the driver has a license at this time, you're led to believe the driver is unlicensed. You turn the vehicle over to a licensed driver and send him on his way with a verbal warning. Yeah, again, this is one of these weird things where I'm not sending anybody on their way until I know who they are, especially if I have the ability to compel identification. So let's be very clear on that. If you're in a position to compel identification, right, you have to force somebody to identify themselves, whether it's a traffic stop or a Terry-style investigation, which a traffic stop is technically a Terry stop, I'm not letting people go until I know who you are, because you just don't know who you're letting go, and it sounds simple. And, you know, your last 11 experiences with that is, oh, well, he probably just had a child support warrant. He might just be suspended. Or he's wanted for this molestation of five children in Oregon, right? Like, or he's wanted for the attempted murder or murder of somebody in Maine or Florida. Like, you don't know who you're dealing with. And stop pretending like you're going to tell yourself the same story every single time. This guy got child support. Just kick him a loose, right? Come on, Jim. What? How many times have I heard in my career? Come on, dude. We got dinner in 10 minutes. You're out here stopping cars. Oh, yeah, no, this guy has a complete nationwide extradition warrant, and unfortunately, my eggs over my hammy will have to wait at Denny's, because I happen to catch on to this guy, was in a position to bring him into custody and bring him to justice. Let's go back to this. A few days go by, you see the same vehicle driving down the road with the same driver behind the wheel. You stop the vehicle again based on your belief that the driver's unlicensed because you were unable to verify the validity of his license a few days prior. Now, let me go back to this. This is why this was so important. If you were seeing a vehicle being driven by the same person a few days later, fine. I mean, statute of limitations hasn't gone up. You're trying to, I can see the argument there. But in this case, this is like the same argument about running your random license plate checks. One, we all know that if you haven't heard this before, running random license plate checks is probably one of the most useless gestures that law enforcement does, and we pour so much energy into it. I've done many videos on this. My whole training course, the opening part of it is do not run random plates. It is a useless gesture, and you always have that one person who's going to argue it because they don't know what they're fucking talking about, but I promise you, it's bullshit. But let's say you happen to run, or your automatic license plate reader runs a plate, and you see a vehicle to stop, and the return has to do with the driver of the, I'm sorry, the owner of the vehicle, and if the driver matches the owner, well, this whole conversation, that it never ends, and it wasn't clarified, the U.S. Supreme Court recently in Glover, there's a lot of things that we have to look at, and then state-by-state basis as well. So if you're going to see the same vehicle and you want to stop it again in these circumstances, here's just a good idea. Why don't you stop him for a speeding violation, no matter how small it is, even 3 miles an hour over the speed limit? I would find myself much more comfortable with a 28 and a 25 or a 39 and a 35 or a 37 and 35 than just what I had the other day. That's the first one. Two, or we can employ and articulate other motor vehicle violations. You know, more than just the five or six you guys know of from the front of your ticket book, or the five or six that everybody commonly employs. It is highly important that many of you, especially if you're trying to be good at this job, right, even an interdiction, spend time reading your motor vehicle law book in your state, reading motor vehicle code. Here's why. The greatest interdiction officers know what they can stop cars for and can articulate it. And I promise you, most of them don't find it in 4 to 7 statutes that they're familiar with. Most are very familiar with statutes like you can't drive in the center lane unless you're making a left-hand turn, overtaking, or passing another motor vehicle. It says the same thing in every state. Very few states have a variance on that, or like stopping your car or this or tailgating. And there's just so many things that you need to know to be an effective police officer. And I'm not saying to go out and be a ticket Nazi, right? That doesn't serve any purpose. But knowing motor vehicle law just as much as the ticket Nazis do will help you go a long way. So that's another issue right there. That's why I wanted to do a video on this. This time the driver shows you a picture of his license on his phone, but it's still unable to produce the actual license, and you're still unable to confirm the validity of the actual license due to, well, you guessed it, manpower shortage. Again, back to this manpower shortage thing. Joe Yillick, who put this up, I'm dying to know what the manpower shortage was that you couldn't achieve this objective. Do you guys not have MDTs in your car? Was there an actual driver's license number on the picture he showed you on the phone? Right? I don't know. Are you compelling identification? Is the person lying about who they are? Can they spell their name? Are they giving you a date of birth and matching their age? Are you having them step out of the car? Are you asking for their social security number? They don't know it. Right? There's all these things you have to go into that I'm not seeing here. All right? While speaking with the driver, you detect the obvious odor of marijuana emanating from directly from the open window of the vehicle. Now, we start getting into New Jersey case law here, so pay attention. This is New Jersey case law I'm going to talk about. The stuff before this, that was all universal, right? Everybody could use that. That's important knowledge. This is what I do for a living, folks. I sit here and I read a shitload of case law and try to analyze and give everybody the most practical advice that I possibly can. Okay. You ask the five occupants to exit the vehicle and conduct a Terry frisk on all five as they exit. Okay, here's the issue. This is what we're getting into here. That's the language that I don't like. Terry frisk does not apply in this situation, right? A Terry frisk, when you're using the language of Terry frisk for New Jersey or every state, means a pat down search for weapons, looking for bumps or bulges where somebody could harbor or conceal a weapon. And this prevents a police officer from being attacked or a surprise attack. So read Terry v. Ohio. In New Jersey, we are allowed to search everybody in the vehicle when we detect the odor of marijuana. We search them like incident to arrest. You don't want to write incident to arrest, but you can say a search for contraband. The language you're using in these reports is important. Nothing is more disheartening to me when I see people write, Jones was then placed under arrest. I then pat frisked him for weapons. That's not true. The requisite for pat frisk for weapons is not the same as a search incident to arrest. So call it. When I arrested Jones, he was then searched incident to arrest. That paints a whole different picture. Incident to arrest means you are arresting somebody and you're allowed to search them incident to that arrest to look for all contraband, to look for weapons, to include narcotics and preserving evidence, all that stuff. So it's a much greater search when you write that. If you actually read a case come out of New Jersey in 2002, it's State versus Nishina, and it was Colts Neck, New Jersey, and the sergeant who was involved in that actually wrote that in his report, and it was regarded in a piece of case law in Nishina, and they said, like, although Sergeant so-and-so thought it was a Terry frisk, in fact, in reality, this was a full-blown search of the person, much like incident to arrest. Same territory, same exact thing. Because he was authorized to do a much more intrusive search, he was clearly authorized to do a Terry frisk. So here we have a sergeant in Colts Neck, New Jersey, who doesn't know how to use the language correctly to emphasize what he's going through. Why? Because a lack of case law knowledge, because nobody's reading this shit, right? Because if it wasn't for me having this conversation, how many people would actually be reading this? Fortunately enough, in New Jersey, we're a state where half the states here fall under civil service. So to get promoted, you have to read case law. But don't get that screwed up either. A lot of folks will read and ingest case law, vomit it onto a test, get the score they need to get promoted, and then just kick it to the side. There's a reason why it's so important to know case law. It's because of things like this. On top of that, just so we're clear, you could arrest everybody in the car when you have the odor of marijuana. So you could see I haven't been doing New Jersey case law for a while. You see how rusty you get. I know the case. I just can't think of the brain fart in the name on top of my head. Let me go to my case law program real quick. So let me go to this, pull this up right here on this screen, which you can't see. I'm going to open this shit up. Let's see what we got. And I don't know why I have such a brain fart. It's Sunday. Where is my New Jersey case law program? Stand by. And by the way, in the meantime, streetcop.com, conference coming up, class is coming up. Got a question, pose it during this video, and I will try to answer it. We'll see how long this video goes today. Desktop, let's see, New Jersey. Yeah, that one will do it. That should suffice. Probably somebody's going to comment before I get to it. Let's see here. Sorry, guys. Sorry for the stall. I didn't know this was going to go this way. Well, State versus Judge is one of them. That's one of the first ones. And then we are going to go into, dear Lord, where is it in this program? Okay, listen, I will add in the notes. As I sit here and try to talk, continue. I don't want to lose my train of thought. Let me roll down a little bit. Oh, you know what? I have it right here. I know where it is. Just dawned on me. Okay, cool. I got the Illinois one coming up. I got a question on Illinois. I see you. It's State versus George Myers. That is the case. Nishina Vanderveer, 1995, Vanderveer. And then State versus George Myers, 2015. Read the case yourself. Oh, actually, if you need the information, no problem. I know somebody messaged me and has a question to ask. I will get to that in this video. Let's go back to this. And see what we have here. Upon probable cause search of the vehicle, a considerable amount of marijuana and a loaded handgun located and recovered. One of the occupants owns up to it, so he's placed into custody. When you say one of the occupants owns up to it and placed into custody, what do we mean owns up to it? Was Miranda recited prior to it? Was it a spontaneous utterance? There's a lot of interesting conversation here that I have a little bit of concern about. I don't think anything could be anything to lose your mind over, but I have a lot of questions. I'd like to see how the report is written. While typing the charges, judge denies the warrant and says, what warrant? Says you have to put the mail on a summons because you have no PC to even stop the vehicle in the first place. Saying that you're believing the driver was unlicensed is illegitimate. You would need to know that the license was suspended as opposed to just belief that he is unlicensed. And therefore, everything that may get thrown out of court as fruits of the poisonous tree. I mean, the judge has concern. I didn't even read this part. That's why I give this advice. I'm crazy. I always find it comical that agencies who think that I'm crazy with the stuff that I do, right? Like, then you have your guys and girls and go out and do stuff like this, right? It's so funny. We have there's an agency in New Jersey where their administration has been adamantly against, and there's a handful of them, of the things that we do. Yet in the past couple of years, they've had New Jersey Supreme Court decisions ruled against them for things that they would have learned in class that they were sending people. No, let's get sued through our fucking teeth. That makes a ton of sense. Anyway, it just goes to show you what kind of administrations are dictating and making calls out there. It's absolutely frightening. It really is terrifying. And I would encourage anybody or make the offer anybody who has anything to say about the training that we do to come in and go Facebook Live amicably. You're a cop, I'm a cop. We would be friends about it, but I'd like to hear what your concerns were. To this day, that offer has been put out for the past 8 years, and nobody has taken me up on that offer. Why? Because they're afraid, because we're holding people accountable for their actions and their behavior. And we're ready to have the conversation. Anybody wants. I mean, and there is no hiding that. Let's see. I only have two questions with regards to this scenario. Is there a reason for the stop legitimate, or is the judge right to state that? So don't forget, the judge is probably has somewhat of a point, but the Delaware v. Prowse and many cases in New Jersey, the right to stop a car is based on reasonable suspicion. It's not probable cause. So did you have enough reasonable suspicion? That's going to be the argument in court, right? Did you have enough reasonable suspicion to believe the person involved in the car? And it has to go back to the initial encounter. We're going to take a look at that. Was that documented? Was that reported? There better be a report on that, right? Or there better be some report done on that in the future or now or supplemental to it, whatever it may be, because that's going to be the argument. So you can reach out to me. I'll gladly help you with this stuff. What does the MVR reveal? What does it say? So again, some thought that had to go here. And do the officers even have the right to Terry Frisk five occupants at the edge of the vehicle since they don't have an independent RAS and each of them is armed? Again, I've already answered this. It had nothing to do with a Terry Frisk. That has nothing to do with it. And by the way, it's I'm glad that you reached out and asked this question, right? There's a Joe Yillick. Yeah, thanks in advance for anyone who takes time to help out. Yeah, you're welcome. This just goes to show of like how important it is to take a $125 case law class here in the state of New Jersey. All this stuff would have been answered if you had taken the training or read any of this. So there is a big confusion, and things like this just remind me how important it is for the work that we're doing out there. Are there people trying to disrupt the stuff that we're doing? Of course, but we don't pay any attention to it. I ignore the noise now. It doesn't bother me at all. There's actually another question that came in here while we're waiting. This is from Freddie D-Man. Hey, Dennis. Question about cannabis in the state of Illinois. Weed is – did I say Illinois? Sorry. I'm just a fucking typical Jersey guy. Weed is legal in Illinois, but the state statute and city ordinance requires it to be transported, sealed in a child-proof, odorless container. I know that odor gives SPC to search the vehicle, but if you give SPC to search the bag, is there luggage located in the said vehicle? My supervisor says no, and I said that it does. Any help would be greatly appreciated. So we go back to Wyoming v. Houghton, United States v. Ross. If you run a search on Wyoming v. Houghton against Illinois case law, I have a funny feeling that you're not going to find anything that circumvents who is calling. I've got to hit decline. It's my sister-in-law. That anything circumvents or says differently than Wyoming v. Houghton, U.S. v. Ross. I've never seen a case. So Wyoming v. Houghton, what does it say in Houghton? Well, I'll just read it to you right here. I happen to have it up on the screen because I was doing some Florida case law research earlier. I know it's in here. I have it in here. This is what Wyoming v. Houghton says. When the police have probable cause to believe an automobile contains contraband or evidence of crime, they may search the entire car, including the contents of passengers' personal belongings that may be capable of holding the object of the search. With probable cause, there's no right or claim to privacy within the automobile. When there is probable cause to search for contraband in a car, it is reasonable for police officers, like customs officials in a founding era, to examine packages and containers without a showing of individualized probable cause for each one. A passenger's personal belongings, just like the driver's belongings or containers attached to the car, like a glove compartment, are in the car, and the officer had probable cause to search for contraband in the car. So, yeah, and that they're citing U.S. v. Ross, 1982, if you're looking for that case. And what Ross says is this. The court held that a warrantless search of an automobile stopped by police officers who had probable cause to believe the vehicle contained contraband was not unreasonable within the meaning of the Fourth Amendment. The court in Carroll did not explicitly address the scope of the search that is permissible. In this case, we consider the extent to which police officers who have legitimately stopped an automobile who have probable cause to believe that it contains contraband is concealed somewhere within it, may conduct a probing search of compartments and containers within the vehicle whose contents are not in plain view. We hold that they may conduct a search of the vehicle that is as thorough as a magistrate could authorize in a warrant, particularly describing the places to be searched. What they're saying is, when you have probable cause to search a car, and again, check your state's case law, every state says the same thing. Some states like Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Ohio will have a scope of a search when it comes just to the odor of narcotics, or that's the only thing, narcotics or and the personal use versus larger quantities. That's the only time we get something that's questionable here. Everything else, and it's clearly dictated, would have to give you the whole search of the car. So if your sergeant is saying or your supervisor is saying otherwise, I have offered you where it says what I'm advocating my position in legal writing, right? Legal documentation, Wyoming v. Houghton, U.S. v. Ross. What I say back in return is if you don't agree with it, just show me where it says in your on your citing cases that it's not true. I don't, the conversation's over. It has been answered. Now, I'm not an Illinois case law expert. I got a funny feeling you're not going to find anything there. So I could be wrong, right? It's not that I'm wrong. I'm advocating this portion of it. This is where it says this. If you have something that says it otherwise, bring it up and show it to me. That's the conversation, right? Here's the facts. You're disputing what I'm saying. Provide facts. That's it. It's as simple as that. So let's see. Chris Braco writes, odor of marijuana in a car. Can you PC search the occupants? What state? That depends. Illinois? New Jersey? Yes. I think Texas as well, with some caveats. You gotta see what Texas says. And then you have Maryland that says no. You have a lot of states that say no. Most states say no. Off topic. I'm curious what your thoughts are pending charges, Virginia, as far as pretext stops. I'm figuring you might have contacts there. Might know more insight. Although I'm not in VA, this is concerning me, and I'm afraid it's an idea that will catch on. Any idea what's really going down there? You know what? I don't have enough context to – I didn't read enough about it. I'll be honest with you. I haven't read much about anything that's going on in Virginia. I've been extremely busy. And I'm sure Zach Miller can give a lot of clarification on this in the future. So I'll speak with Zach later and see if he can jump on here and give a real good explanation. I've also been thinking about doing the analysis regarding what's going on in Colorado. Like, I've heard a lot of people depart Colorado. What can be the fixes if you're going to stick around? People need to know, and we're going to try to do our best to help it. When you're running a company that's very, very busy, very large, and expanding very quickly, I'm constantly hiring and getting more leverage in here because we have so much going on. So there's these things I want to get to, and it's an obligation of mine. That I have to everybody here for being a part of it to get to this stuff and provide answers that you're seeking, because it's important, right? That's why everybody signed on and said the Street Cop Training, we trust what you guys are doing because you're doing so much. We get it. It's just that time becomes a factor, especially the fact that I have to fly all around the country every week to perform training, because in the area that we're at, due to the restrictions of COVID, we aren't able to put a sizable amount of people in a classroom. So we have to travel a lot. New York, Chris Braco, we have a guy in this group, Ken Rice, Kenneth Rice. If you look at his, if you email me this, I'll forward it to you. I have to look at the book. I have the book. I'm not sure off the top of my head if I can recall what they say about New York. Wait, Chris Braco, I know who you are. Never mind. Caught me off guard there, brother. You can just message me. Or you see that email I sent you with Ken Rice on there? He's our New York legal advisor. You can just reply to him and ask him the question. I'll give you a good one on that. Without further ado, I don't think we have any questions here on Instagram. Any more questions here on Facebook as well? I don't see anything. Hopefully, everybody's finding value. Maybe I'll come back on and do another video today. Rizzos are coming over. Hopefully, we'll see them tomorrow for the podcast. Rolling that out ASAP, I promise you. We'll see you guys.